ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर गोना रीड फ्रॉम Canto 10, text chapter 3, text 25. Nashte loke dviparardha vasane.
Nashte loke dviparardha vasane.
Mahabhuteshvadi bhutam gateshu.
Mahabhuteshvadi bhutam gateshu.
Vyakte avyaktam kalvegena yate. भवानेका शिष्यते अशेष संज्ञा। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. After millions of years, at the time of cosmic annihilation, when everything manifested and unmanifested is annihilated by the force of time, the five gross elements enter into the subtle conception, and the manifested categories enter into the unmanifested substance. At that time, you alone remain, and you are known as Anant Shesh Nag. Purport. At the time of annihilation, the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the mind, intelligence, and false ego, Ahankar. And the entire cosmic manifestation enters into the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone remains as the origin of everything. The Lord is therefore known as Sheshnag, as Adipurusha, and by many other names. Devaki therefore prayed, after many millions of years, when Lord Brahma comes to the end of his life, the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation takes place. At that time, the five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the Mahatattva. The Mahatattva again enters by the force of time into the non-manifested total material energy. The total material energy enters into the energetic Pradhan, and the Pradhan enters into you. Therefore, after the annihilation of the whole cosmic manifestation, you alone remain with your transcendental name, form, quality, and paraphernalia. My Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the director of the unmanifested total energy and the ultimate reservoir of the material nature. My Lord, the whole cosmic manifestation is under the influence of time, beginning from the moment up to the duration of the year. All act under your direction. You are the original director of everything and the reservoir or of all potent energies. Om Agyan Timrandhasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanshta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitanshta He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kant Radha Kant Namostate Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishbhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल let me beg forgiveness from Prajapati Prabhu and all the senior devotees. I'm not at all qualified to be here in front of you all and speak.
I hope you stay.
After this experience, I don't think I can. And especially when you're told at the last moment you have to give the class in front of all the senior devotees without any preparation, what you can do. I'll still try my best by your blessings, Prabhu. And if I make any mistakes, please forgive me. So here,
all the mistakes will be annihilated at the end, as well as everything else.
But till that time they'll remain. So in this chapter, birth of Lord Krishna is being described by Shukdev Goswami. And after his birth, here Mother Devaki is praying to the Lord. It's wonderful prayers she is saying. How Krishna appeared. He appeared in his four-handed form, and with all the shankh, chakra, gada and padma in all his in his hands, and he was wearing the crown and all the jewelry, nice clothes, he had full head of hair. And the Krishna appeared like that just to dispel the fear of Mother Devaki and Vasudev that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kansa cannot do anything to me, so don't be afraid. But Mother Devaki, her Vatsalya Bhava is still there. Then they pray to Krishna, please convert yourself in the human-like form. Because if Kansa sees you like this, then definitely he is going to come after you. And they say, we cannot treat you like our son if you are in this form. So although Krishna, just after he appeared, he gives good teachings to Devaki and Vasudev. He tells them, you were Drona and Sutapa in the previous life. You did so many austerities and you wanted a son like me, but there cannot be any person like me, so I appeared myself as your son. And after he showed his two-handed form, he went back into two-handed form, then Mother Devaki is praying now. Or maybe it is before that. I think it is before. He is still in his four-handed form. So Mother Devaki is praying. After millions of years, at the time of cosmic annihilation. Now Mother Devaki knows that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had nothing to fear of Kansa. She's saying, after everything manifested or unmanifested is annihilated, you alone remains. You alone remain, I'm sorry. You alone remain. So what does she fear? How can she be fearful of Kansa? Kansa can kill him. But it's a vatsalya mood, it's a parental affection of Devaki, that she is still trying to save Krishna. She understands he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody can kill him. But it's a fear, not for herself, it's for the safety of Krishna. She has a mixed mood of Vatsalya and Aishwarya, awe and reverence and parental. But if we see the pastimes of Krishna with Mother Yashoda, even after Krishna showed her the whole Brahmand in his mouth, she still doesn't pray to Krishna like this. Yashoda still thinks, oh, he's my little baby. Something wrong must have happened to him. She never prayed, oh, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the whole cosmic manifestation will enter into you after at the time of annihilation. Yashoda Maya never prayed like that. But here Devaki is praying. When Krishna broke the pot of yogurt and then he ran, Yashoda Maya ran after him like with a stick in his hand. I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to tie you and beat you up. You've been very naughty now. That's the mood of Mother Yashoda. But Devaki, she's praying. Even after Krishna kills Kansa and comes to free Devaki and Vasudev, they still started praying. But that's their mood. That's the mood in Mathura. So Krishna is perfect in Dwarka, is more perfect in Mathura, but is most perfect in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, nobody treats him as God. His boyfriend, cowherd boyfriends, when Krishna is playing with them, sometimes he cheats. And they say, okay, we are not going to play with you. You're not allowed to come and play with us. They don't treat him as God. When he loses, they jump on his back. Okay, now you have to take us on the other side. You lost. They don't pray, oh, the entire cosmic manifestation is entered into you. They don't pray. That's the difference between Mathura and Vrindavan. Vrindavan, he is most perfect. Because in Vrindavan, all the Aishwarya is hidden by the love. It's hidden. It's covered. There's more opulence in Vrindavan than anywhere else. But it's all covered by love. Just like Krishna showed his opulence when, at the time of Brahma Vimohan Leela, when Lord Brahma got bewildered and he stole all his cowherd boyfriends and calves, Lord Krishna showed his opulence. But even after showing the opulence, all the cowherd boyfriends, they never thought he's God. He lifted Govardhan Hill for 7 days on the tip of his little finger of the left hand, not even the right hand. Just to show even the weakest part of the hand, he can perform such a Herculean task. Lifted Govardhan Hill for 7 days and 7 nights. But all his cowherd boyfriends, when they were under Govardhan, what did they do? They said, okay, we're going to help you by keeping the Govardhan up by putting our sticks under it. We're going to help you keep it up. So Krishna, just to show them who is he just tilted Govardhan a little bit. And all their sticks just broke. And after 7 days, when the rain stopped, thunderstorm stopped, Krishna asked them, okay, you all leave, then I'll come out. They said, no, 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 you must be tired. We'll hold it up. Why don't you leave? Then again Krishna showed them, okay, you cannot hold up Govardhan. So then they all left. And Krishna came out, put Govardhan down. And then, of course, Indra came with Surabhi cow. They worshipped Krishna and did Abhishek. But even after that, all the cowherd boys, they went to their parents and Nand Baba, oh, we saw a very nice person, effulgent person. He came and he bowed down to Krishna and he had very nice cow. They did Abhishek of Krishna with cow's milk. But nobody ever thought he is God. Nobody considers Krishna as God in Vrindavan. They say, oh, our friend is very, very special. He's super special, but still he's our friend. That's the mood in Vrindavan. But here the mood in Mathura is different. Mother Devaki is praying. After millions of years, when Lord Brahma comes to the end of his life, the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation takes place. So this is what happens at the time of end of Brahma's life. The whole cosmic manifestation, all the elements, earth merges into water, water merges into fire, fire merges into air, air merges into ether, ether goes into ego, ego goes into intelligence, intelligence into mind, and the whole thing just enters into the body of Mahavishnu as Pradhan. Pradhan then enters into body of Mahavishnu. And this is the reverse sequence happens at the time of creation. It's mind-boggling how this can happen, how the dissolution takes place, how the annihilation takes place. So somebody explained, just like in the chemistry we study, when something is solid, when we see something solid, exactly what it is between two molecules, there is a greater bond. The strength is more, the energy is more. And within the liquid, the bond is little less, has less strength. So it's all the game of energy that makes us two molecules, when they're together with their greater strength, bond is strong, it is solid. The thing is in solid state. And when this energy is less, it is in liquid state. When it is in lesser, it's in air state. So at the time of dissolution, all this energy keeps on breaking, and the solid becomes liquid, liquid goes into air, air goes into fire and then air, then, and we don't see it then. It becomes unmanifested. But this is the opulence of Krishna. And not just Krishna, he just shows that, I mean, this is like his expansion of his expansion, Mahavishnu. He does all this. Through his body, Krishna does all the creation. Expansion of his expansion. Even he himself even doesn't do it. And this whole life of Brahma is what? Just one breath of Mahavishnu. When he exhales, all the universes appear. And when he inhales, all the universes go back. There's just one breath of Mahavishnu. And one breath of Mahavishnu, the whole creation takes place. One full lifetime of Brahma, which is 311 trillion 40 billion years, according to Earth's calculation. Huge lifetime. And in this whole lifetime, Brahma comes, he creates all the 14 planetary systems, and then all the living entities, they get a chance to come into the universe. They take their birth according to the desire and karma, and they keep on going up and down, up and down, up and down. Brahman Brahmita Kono Bhagavan. Brahman Brahmita. We've been going up and down, sometimes heavenly planet, sometimes earthly planet, sometimes hellish planet, in this 311 trillion 40 billion years. Even at the night of Brahma, after 1000 Chaturyuga is gone, partial annihilation takes place. Up to Satyalok, everything is again merged in water. The whole creation again goes there. Dissolution takes place. Partial. Then when Brahma's day comes, he again does the creation again. Just imagine if we have a business, When we close the business at night, everything is gone. When we come back in the morning, we have to start all over again. And this is Lord Brahma's service. He does that. Every morning he does that. And every day of Brahma, every like 7th Manu's 28th Dwapar Yuga, Krishna himself comes. So every afternoon of Brahma, Krishna comes. He does his leelas. 14 Manus is one day, like at the time of, so by evening 14 Manus are there for Brahma's evening. So 7th Manu, noon time, Krishna appears. This is the opulence of Krishna. Not even Krishna himself doesn't say it's Maya. It's like it's expansion of his expansion, Mahavishnu's opulence. And these many breaths of Mahavishnu, it's just like one blink of eye and in Goloka Vrindavan. It's just one blink of eye. And many breaths of Mahavishnu take place. So many breaths of Mahavishnu means many times this cosmic manifestation comes into being and then annihilates. So while sitting here, I can only think of Tamalkesh Maharaj because I used to come sit there and listen to him. So once he's, I'm pretty sure everybody knows this pastime, but once he related this pastime with Prabhupada, and Tamalkesh Maharaj said once he was in LA temple, long times, like 68, 69, if I'm wrong, please correct me. And then Prabhupada called him to his room. Prabhupada said, there is Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan and his expansion of his expansion is Mahavishnu. From Mahavishnu, all the universes come out when he exhales. In the universe, he comes, fills half the universe with his perspiration. That's Garbhodak Sagar. He lies down on that Garbhodak Sagar as Garbhodaksha Vishnu. From his navel, lotus comes out. And on the lotus, Lord Brahma appears. Brahma does tapasya. Then he gets the knowledge to do the creation. He creates all the 14 planetary systems. And all the jivas, they get to come into the creation. And so there are 14 planetary systems. Out of this 14 planetary system, there is one planet called Earth. And on Earth, there are so many countries. And one country is US of A. In US of A, there are so many big cities. One city is Los Angeles. In LA, there are so many streets. One street is this Watseka Avenue. Watseka Avenue, there are hundreds of houses. There's one house we are staying in. In this house, there are so many rooms. And one room, here we are sitting together. And please forgive me, Maharaj. Prabhupada said, and here Tamal Krishna, that time he wasn't Maharaj, Tamal Krishna, and he thinks he controls the whole thing. We also think the same way. And through Maharaj, I mean, Prabhupada just used him as an instrument, he gave us instruction. We also think we are the controller. Kansa also thought he is a controller. Who are we? What is our position? We're just 10,000 part of the tip of the hair. That's all we are. And here, Krishna's opulence. Look at this. That's why first, we have to understand the opulence of Krishna. That's why in so many cantos, just the opulence of Krishna is described by Shukdev Goswami. Third canto, fifth canto, the whole universe is described. It's amazing. It's the first we have to understand his opulence. Then first we know he is how great God is. We cannot become just sentimentalists and, oh, I love Krishna. First, we have to understand his position. Yes, when we come to that level, just like Maharaj was describing yesterday, when we come to that level, we have spontaneous love, we do raganuga bhakti. When we come to that level, yes, we can understand. He's a lovable, whichever way, whatever rasa we have with him. But until that time, as long as we are doing Vedi Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, we have to understand his position. And understand he is the controller of everything. He is the cause of all causes, Sarva Karan Karanam. We are not the controllers. He is the supreme controller. He is a Parameshwara, Ishwara Parama Krishna. He is a supreme controller. He controls everything. And all our position is Jivir Swarupe Krishna Nityadas. That's our position. When we forget this position, when we try to control, we try to enjoy, we try to own, that's when we are sent into this material world. You try. But even here, we don't control anything. Prakrite kriyamanani gunaya karmani sarvasha ahankar vimudatma karta hamiti manyate. Three modes of material nature, they make us do things. Still we are not in control. We think we are in control. That's where the whole problem is. When we think we are the controller, we try to control. That's when the whole samsara, cycle of samsara goes again and again and again and again. All we have to do is surrender. All we have to do is work according to his plan or the plan of his representatives. This is what he asks Arjuna. Nimit matra bhava samsara. Just become an instrument and fight. On his own, Arjuna wasn't willing to fight. He wanted to give up everything. He thought he is not going to enjoy this kingdom. Even if he wins this kingdom, he said, I won't be able to enjoy. Because all the people I am going to show this kingdom to, they will be gone. So for his own, he said, I cannot enjoy, so why should I fight? Krishna says, no, you fight because I want you to fight. Nimit matra. So we also have to come to this understanding that we have to become just an instrument in the hands of Krishna or Guru, his representative. An instrument just does whatever the person holding the instrument does, wants him to do. Just like a surgeon, he has so many tools when he's performing the surgery. If the instrument, if the surgeon is trying to cut this way, instrument goes, no, I want to do this way. Well, good luck for the patient. So that's what instrument means. A surgeon is doing this way, the instrument has to go that way. So this is what Krishna is asking Arjuna to do. Become an instrument. And this is what we have to become. Instrument in our Guru's hands, in Krishna's hands. Let them use us. This is what Prabhupada prayed in his when he came to Boston. I'm just a puppet. You make me dance. Whichever way you want me to dance, you just make me dance. I have no qualification. Somehow I got this title of Bhakti Vedanta, but you have to make it applicable. Or I have no qualification. And when we pray like that, when we have this mood, then Krishna empowers us and makes us qualified. Guru makes us qualified to do things that he wants us to do. And unless until we surrender, we become an instrument, we cannot do anything. If we think we are the controller, then we have to read Bhagavatam again and again to understand we are not the controllers. After all, what can 10,000 part of the tip of the hair can do? What can he control? Nothing. And that's what Prabhupada said many times, right? That if you want to see how big a controller are, eat two chapatis extra than what you want to eat. You'll see how big a controller you are. We can't even control our bowel movement. Forget about controlling the universe. It's just we have to become servants. Servant of the servant of the servant. That is a real position. And if we achieve that, that is the supreme destination we can achieve. And Krishna can control the whole thing through his devotee. More we are surrendered, more he can use us, empower us in his plan. If we are not surrendered, then whole Brahmand is open for us to take birth again and die again. So that's my limited realization and knowledge, especially when you're asked to give the class at the last moment. So please forgive me if I make any mistakes, and if there are any questions or comments, please go ahead. Yes, Prabhu.
During the annihilation, I've always wanted to know what happens to the soul of all of these persons who are living in the universe when they are sucked back into Lord Vishnu. And because the question comes up in my mind, are they merging into the Lord? And of course, our philosophy comes up, this Mayavad philosophy, we're all one and all this. And so I've always wanted to know what happens to the soul.
When they remain in the body of Mahavishnu. They don't merge. They still retain their individuality. And when the creation happens again, which according to Mahavishnu, it's just his breath. He inhaled, he exhales. So how much time it can take. So at the time of creation, when all the universes are created, they are again put into different universes according to their karma and desire. And they get a body again.
There's the answer. Thank you.
And how he does it by... he glances over the universes, and through his glance, which is Sadashiv, the souls enter into universes. So they remain, but they don't lose the individuality. Soul never loses. This is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. There was never a time when I did not exist, you and all the kings, and then shall never a time when we cease to be. Prabhu, you have to comment. You cannot ask questions.
One little comment. And that is that nice description you gave about the molecules and the bond between them. One is solid and one is liquid. It reminded me of that verse in Bhagavad Gita 7:7 where Krishna says, everything is resting on me as pearls are strung on a thread. So he is the bond between all these different molecules and atoms and things that hold the universe together. That is also Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, yes. And at the time of annihilation, he just withdraws his energies and that's it. Yes, Prabhupada. Krishna is?
He's the doer, the controller. Nothing happens without him. So what part is the person responsible for?
Desire. We have our independence. We desire. Krishna sanctions. And we get we get the reaction. That's our only independence. Very minute independence we have is our desire. Just like once Prabhupada said, there's a shopkeeper and he shuts down his shop at night and he prays to God, please don't let anything, any thief come break into my shop. And there's a thief standing in front and he says, he prays to Krishna, please, I want to break into his shop. So, whose desire Krishna is going to fulfill? Whoever's desire is strong, he will fulfill that. So it's thief's desire, and he breaks into his shop, and he gets the reaction. As Paramatma, he is impartial. So if we desire to do something nonsense, Krishna tries to stop us, but Paramatma is there. We don't listen to him. We get the reaction. We do it, we get the reaction. Thinking, feeling, willing, and then it converts into action, and then action will give a reaction. And this thinking will depend upon, first of all, our sanskaras from previous life, whatever sanskaras we have, whatever association we have, we are taking in this lifetime. It'll depend upon that. We could have some bad sanskaras from previous life, but independence is still there. We can take good association and create new sanskaras. So our thinking process is right. Our desires are right. For that, devotees are there. They come, give us the association, nice association. So we, by our intelligence, we control the desires. Even the desire happens, we nip it in the bud. Wrong desire, we nip it in the bud. No, it's not good for me. Whatever is favorable for our bhakti, we do it. What is unfavorable, we don't do it. This is what Rupa Goswami says. It's all up to our desire. So that's our independence. And we misuse our independence, we get the reaction. Makes sense. Should we stop here? Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Janitai Gaur Premanandi.